God are present there. Amen. Grab your Bibles and stand, please. Turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 33. In your Bible, please stand in honor and respect for the Word of God. And you'll only be standing for a moment. Exodus chapter number 33. Exodus chapter number 33. And I appreciate the grace that you give me tonight as I did put this message together about a half an hour before the service started. I was under the impression that Pastor Adams was possibly going to be ill or ill-prepared ill-tempered in terms of the service tonight. So I was right on two accounts. And so again, I appreciate it. I have a seven-point message, and there are about 700 other points that may just pop up as we go. And so the message tonight is the presence of God, or you can maybe possibly say the power of the presence of God. And so along with our theme for December, presence. Amen. All right, so let's look here at verses 14 and 15. Verses 14 and 15. And I'm sorry, I'm going to back and forth use these glasses because they sometimes work. That is my eyes, and they sometimes don't. And so verse number 14 says, "And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Verse number 15, "And he said unto him," this is Moses speaking, responding to God, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, for your presence. And Lord, we pray that we would acknowledge your presence here tonight, that we would listen to the voice of your presence, and Lord, that we would apply the word that is preached from your presence this evening. We pray that you'd help us, Lord, to take these things, and may it be a major part of our daily lives, moment by moment. May we practice the presence of God, and we look forward to all that you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to look tonight just quickly on the promise of presence, the purpose of presence, the potency of presence, the priority of presence, the fact that we should be people of the presence of God. The presence of God should be a prerequisite to progress and the pleasure of the presence of God. And again, there probably will be many other points that will just pop up that start with the letter P, because that's what the letter P does. It just pops up all over the place. And so it's probable, yes, amen. And so tonight, as we look at this, we want to learn to practice the presence of God. And I'm going to give you a little bit of the context in relation to our text here. And so what's going on is Israel is in the wilderness. They had just received the law of God, and Moses is up in the mountain, and Israel has messed up. They've messed up royally. They've messed up really, really badly. They have decided that they're going to worship a golden calf as their god, and they decide that they're going to commit all manner of sin against God. And God sends Moses back down. Moses is then, he deals with the issue, and then he goes back to God and he says, "We need you." And after praying, like for example, at the end of chapter 32, he kind of stands in on behalf of the Israelites, and he says, "We have sinned a great sin," in verse number 30. "And now I will go up unto the Lord, and peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin." And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out." And so just as he says in another place, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And the fact is that Moses is dealing here with a really rough situation. They the nation of Israel is at odds with the Lord, and they've gone along and dealt with these things, and now Moses comes to him and it says that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh with his friend or unto his friend. And then we see here though that Moses said to the Lord, "See," verse number 12, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." You know, somewhere along the lines of this this happening that takes place here, God tells Moses, "I'm going to send my angel with you." And Moses is like, "That's not going to do. It's not going to do. We need the Lord." And so he impleads the Lord again, and he says, "Look, you've said that you're sending us, but you haven't told us who you're going to send with us." It's kind of hint, hint, God, we want you, right? And so then the Lord responds. He says, "Now therefore I pray thee," actually he's not the Lord responding, this is Moses continuing his statement, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And so God's response to Moses seeking the Lord and seeking to be to be identified with the Lord and seeking to be to have the Lord identified with him and his people, he pleads with the Lord that he would find grace in his sight. And God answers him and says, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And Moses' response is basically, "If you're not going, I'm not going." It says, "If thy presence go not with us, carry us not up. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." And so, just I gave that background and kind of leading up to that, really to kind of just springboard from the verse to deal with these P points on the presence of God. And so the first one here is the promise of presence. God promised Moses His presence, but God also promised us His presence. When Jesus rose from the dead, and just before He ascended, He said to us that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, right? And He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always," right? All the way to the end. He's promised us His presence. And so there's a promise of presence. Now, along with the promise of presence, we must understand that there is a purpose of presence. God is with us not for no reason. Right. I know it's bad grammar, but who cares? God is not with us without reason. His presence is with us to realize His righteousness and to have conviction, right? When Jesus ascended, before Jesus ascended, He said he promised that there would be another comforter that He would send, right? That would be with us to lead us and to guide us into all truth. And he said that he would convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And he's here with us to convince us as well, right? And so the world is convinced of sin, of righteousness, and judgment so that they might be saved. But we're convinced of those things, of sin, because we need to put off sin. We're convinced of righteousness, the righteousness of God, so that we know what's right, so that we can do what's right, and of judgment, so that we, as we know that we're fleeing from the wrath to come, and we're not going to be judged with the world, we can rejoice in that freedom from that judgment. Now, we will also stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive reward for what we've done in our bodies. However, that judgment is really stronger on the side of the world's going to be judged. and we need to do something about it. And so the purpose of God's presence with us is to prod us on, to push us forward, right? Amen. And to present the things that we need to deal with, whether that's sin or whether that's just a little bit of encouragement to reach the world with the gospel. There is a purpose for God being present with us. Number three, the potency of presence. Amen. You can't do anything without the Lord. In John chapter number 15, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Now, with the presence of God comes the power of God. Right? We're not to be among those who have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. But we're to be under the influence of the Spirit of God. In fact, we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit of God. And with the filling of the Spirit, every example you see in the Word of God of people being filled with the Spirit, they preach the Word of God with boldness. They also sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in their hearts to the Lord. But being filled with the Spirit of God is going to produce preaching. And I don't know if y'all are all counting all the P words in this message, but I think we've hit about 200 now. So, pretty close, yes. Close in proximity, anyways. So, anyhow, there is potency. Y'all know potency has to do with the potentate, right? God, the only potentate, not potentato, okay? Not potato either. Well, we had to throw that P word in there because that's your favorite word. Anyhow, but the potency comes from the potentate. That is the one who has all power. Absolutely. And if His presence be with us. By the way, there are some things that keep the presence of God away. That's not a point here, but you know, the things that prevent the presence of God. That can be a whole other message. Preventing the presence of God. Just keep on being you and sinning like sinners do. That'll prevent the presence of God. That will present the power of the presence of God. Prevent the power of the presence of God. All these P words, I just mess them all up. Anyhow, preventing God's work, God's power, and the potency of His presence in your life takes place when you don't follow His Word. When you disobey. When you disobey commands to do, and when you disobey commands not to do, it will prevent the potency of His presence. Number four, priority of presence. The priority of presence. Notice here, and we're going to see prerequisite of presence, but notice in our text, and this is they're very close. The priority and the prerequisite are very, very close. But the priority of presence, it ought to be more important to you that you experience and walk in the presence of God and with God present with you, that you walk with God present with you in your day-to-day life. That ought to be more important to you than anything else. Anything else in life. It ought to take priority over everything. Ask your mother, Aaron. It ought to take priority over everything. That wasn't part of the message. I was just telling him to ask his mom to help him get in the office. Yeah, ask your mother. She knows all about it. Amen. So, but the priority ought to be that over all other things, over all other things in life, over your potential gains, right? Your financial scenario, the presence of God ought to take priority and precedent over those things. The presence of God ought to take priority and precedence over even your health. Ought to take priority and presence over, or priority and, I lost the other P word, that's the other point. It ought to take priority and precedence over even your food, right? What is it Job said? I have esteemed thy word more than my necessary meat, more than my necessary food. He's placed it in priority above. Now, how do you experience the presence of God? There's two ways. It's through communication. It's a two-way street on that. Experiencing the presence of God has to do with communing with Him, speaking to Him, and Him speaking to you. You experience the presence of God, hopefully, every morning when you open His Word and you read. Or you listen, because you can't see like me. But sometimes the words are like this. Along with, yeah, I got that bubble again. I got an appointment on Tuesday. They're going to take my eye out, I think. So, anyhow, the presence of God, first thing in the morning, that's another part of the priority, is that you put Him and meeting with Him before everything else in priority, but also in precedence, in time, right? So when you get up in the morning, I know most people have other things on their mind. Most people, you wake up and you're like, I gotta do this or that or whatever. And you fill in the blank of the things that you think you need to do. But maybe the first thing you need to do is just wake up and say, hello, Lord, how are you today? I'm glad to be alive. And there may be some emergency activities that need to take place functionally. And then you open God's Word, right? And so you've got to get to where you are putting that first in priority and in precedence. And the point number five, we ought to be people of the presence of God. We ought to be known for having God's presence with us. The way that that takes place is when we're out and about. You know, here's how you know that God's presence is with you. When you're around people and they feel conviction without you even having to speak. It's not just about how you look. It's about the fact that the presence of God is there. When you're around other believers, it ought to be... Have anybody ever been somewhere like... I'm not talking about like dressing up and looking like you're, you know, Joe Christian. I'm talking about maybe you just got done like working on a car or something and you're covered in nasty and whatever, but you're somewhere and somebody's like, hey, are you a Christian? Anybody ever have anybody ask them if they're a Christian before? And not because you were wearing a dress, if you're a lady, if you were a man wearing a dress, probably not asking you if you're a Christian, probably asking you other questions. But anyhow, don't do it. Don't do it. Not good. That's a good way to get rid of the presence of God too, or get out of the presence of God. but being a person of the presence of God, I can't really explain it. There's a presence. There's a presence. The Welsh revival back in the day, and actually multiple different revivals. There was a revival on the island of Duncan Campbell and that revival. Where was that? It wasn't the Welsh revival. It was what's that? I don't know. Oh man, I can't remember where it was. Anyhow, he was giving his testimony of the revival. You can look that up online and listen to it. The testimony of Duncan Campbell and the revival that took place. They had a couple ladies were praying and asking God for revival. And some strange things going on with all of that, but they were looking for someone to be the preacher, to do this revival. Well, so Duncan Campbell's in town. He's preaching at another church, and these ladies, they're sitting on a park bench, and they see him, and they say, sir, God has told us that you are the one to bring revival to the Hebrides. And so you need to be here. And so he was like, I've got other plans. I've got, you know. Anyhow, it ended up working out to where, and some of the rule back then for revival, you spend 3 weeks in prayer before you have meetings, and like full-time prayer for 3 weeks. And so, anyhow, he started preaching, and actually he's preaching, and there's a dance in a barn off somewhere else on the island. And the presence of God fell on the whole island. And he said that people fled from the dance and ran to the church house. They didn't know that there was a meeting in progress. They just knew that that was the only place that they could find help. And they, there was several different examples of what had happened. There was a constable who was a God-fearing man, and he was saved, and people knew that he was saved. And so they ran to him to hear the gospel because they knew that they were, as he said, hell-deserving sinners, and that the presence of God had overwhelmed them so much that they ran. There were people kneeling at the roadside getting saved, getting right with God. The altar, he came out to there was something about later on that evening, he came out and he found the way blocked. He couldn't even get to the altar because there were so many people in the room just wailing over their sin and begging God for forgiveness. And he said there was a woman down at the altar and she was crying out, "Is there mercy for me? Is there mercy for me? Is there mercy for me?" And just so many examples. You know, there's this woman with her son, and his name was Willie, and he was a drunkard. And she says, "Oh, Willie, have you come to be saved?" It's great. It's great to listen. He's got like a really thick Irish accent, and it's a great testimony to listen to, and just how God worked and His presence fell in that time. But these people, they ran to the people that they knew practiced walking with God, practicing the presence of God. And this ought to be that when people think of Glory Baptist Church, they ought to think about, and I'm not talking about the building, although when people come here, because the church of God is here, because we come here and we meet here, when people come in here and the church is here, because the presence of God is with us, the church, they ought to have an overwhelming understanding and sense of the presence of God with us, because we're people of the presence of God. Moses wanted to be a person of the presence of God. So much so that the presence of God became a prerequisite for progress. He said, "If your presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." He made it a prerequisite. He says, "I'm not going anywhere." And they ended up wandering for a long time and everything. But he said, "I'm not continuing on without your presence." It became a prerequisite of service. It became a prerequisite of progress. They wanted to progress. They wanted to go to the promised land. They wanted to receive the reward in the presence, with the presence of God. But they put the first thing first. Moses put the first thing first. He said, "Don't take us if you're not taking us. If your presence is not going to be with us, don't take us." He made the presence of God a prerequisite for progress. That ought to be our prayer for Plainfield and for, it's another P word. and for the Indy 100 project. Another P word. Man. Anyhow, they're just rolling out everywhere. They're propagating it. that ought to be our prerequisite. Church planting. It ought to be the prerequisite for progress. We don't go unless the presence of God goes with us. We don't go unless the presence of God takes us. And number 7, oh, the pleasure of the presence of God. Man, if you have been in the presence of God, and by the way, if you're a believer, every one of you have. But there's something about God making it known to you that His presence is with you. If it's ever happened, it's the one thing you seek. It's the one thing you want to remember. It's the one thing, not just remember, it's the one thing that you want to be like, Lord, I remember it. I don't want to remember it anymore. I want to be in it. I want you to be here. I want your presence here, right? There was a time, so when we first got this building and we were working on, I had a reminder on my phone that every time I left my house, it said, pray at the church building. And then I kind of changed it. It was a reminder. It just reminded me to pray that God's presence would be with us when we meet here. And that's something that before we finish this building, I'd walk through here and I'd walk around. And I'd walk back and forth and I'd talk to the Lord. And I'd say, God, I want your presence here. We want your glory here. We want to experience meeting with you here in this place. And we need God to be here. What's the point if he's not? If we can't meet with God, why are we here? And so, but there is, oh man. I've got to look this up. It just, the verse popped in my head, and I don't have the whole verse in my head. Let's see here. Psalm 16:11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Pleasure. The pleasure of God's presence. Will we practice the presence of God? Will we seek to receive the promise of the presence? Understand the purpose of the presence? Utilize the potency of the presence? Make the presence of God a priority? Will we be known as people of the presence of God? Will we prescribe the presence of God as a prerequisite for progress? And will we enjoy the pleasure of the presence of God? Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. The altar is open.